In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany, and traditionally there are three occasions that we honor, that we pay tribute to. The first is the Magi visiting our Lord as an infant. We see the Gentile nations represented in these Magi, these men of wisdom, of learning. They have come and they have seen the light of God. For Epiphany means to be illuminated, to see, to discover something that we did not know before, something that is life-changing, life-altering. These Magi have seen the Son of God with their own hands. They have offered gifts to the Son of God. And so this is an epiphany. It is something that is life-altering. It is changing the life of the whole world, or at least it should. We look around the world today and we see not quite as much as we would like, or perhaps as God would wish. So this first epiphany, this first manifestation, is when the Magi visited our Lord when he is an infant. We have a long hidden life of our Lord, and then we have his first public miracle at the wedding feast of Cana, and this too is an epiphany where his disciples were there, perhaps not yet his disciples, but they were to be his disciples, were there, and they witnessed this first miracle of Christ, and it is an epiphany. It is a life-changing event. We see again our Lord when he is baptized in the River Jordan, the skies of heaven opened up, a dove from heaven descends upon our Lord's head, and a voice from the clouds says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Again, another epiphany. Another light going off telling us, this is the Son of God. This is to transform our lives. It should be life-altering for us. Christ came to save the world from our sins, to open up the gates of heaven. But tragically, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. God had set aside a special people, the children of Abraham, to receive him, but these children of Abraham had fallen away so many times, had lost their way so many times, and God gave them their own little epiphanies and brought them back over and over again. But for the main event, when the Son of God finally comes to them, they received him not. And Christ is still here in our churches, in our tabernacle. And every time we receive him, it should be another epiphany. We should be like the Magi, have learned something from history, learned something from the ancestors, those who have recorded this for us, telling us what has happened. An epiphany should go off in our heads. A light has turned on. Now we should be able to see and to see clearly that God is with us, hidden in the tabernacle. But tragically, nothing has really changed. Catholics are not much different than the children of Abraham. He comes unto his own, and his own receive him not. We see him there, we say we believe, but has it transformed our lives? I can remember as a young man thinking, oh, what a joy it would have been to be alive when Christ walked the earth, to see Christ in the stable, in the manger there, this little infant. To see him baptized in the River Jordan and to hear the voice of God. to see the water changed into wine at the wedding feast of Cana. These great epiphanies, life-altering epiphanies, would have transformed us. It would have been such a joy. How could the Israelites not know this? How could they not see this? How could they not understand? The priests, the Pharisees, those who studied the law, they knew where Christ was to be born. And yet they didn't go to see him. It was the Magi from the Gentiles who traveled this great distance and told them, "Oh, he's here. We saw his star. Where's he to be born?" And they look through the scriptures and find it. "Oh, here in Bethlehem. Go to Bethlehem. That's where he's supposed to be." They knew, but yet it didn't affect them. They were not transformed. There was no epiphany for them because they had not yet really loved God. And I look how many graces we have today. How many miracles when Christ comes down from heaven and enters this world under the appearances of bread and wine. At every Mass we have the incarnation, the Son of God, coming physically to be in our presence so that we can receive him. And he can welcome us into his arms, into his life. This light of heaven has come to earth, and it is shocking that the whole world doesn't see and appreciate and know this, but it is even worse that Catholics do not. Where is our love for God? Where is our epiphany? And every year, our Holy Mother, the Church, brings this thought back to us to remind us once again, we have received an epiphany. Christ has manifested himself to us. Our lives are to be transformed. We're to become, as St. Paul says, this new creature in Christ. Put off the old man and put on the new. For that's the effect the epiphany is supposed to have upon us. That we truly begin to love God more than we've ever loved him before. We see and understand God's will, and we are even more eager than ever before to bring God's will into our life, to pursue the will of God. And I think for everyone, perhaps from time to time, we get the realization, this is, whatever it may be, whatever activity, this must have been God's will for me. It is right. It is correct. This is where I needed to be at this time, in this situation, in this circumstance. There is a mini epiphany, if you will. It was God's will that I should be here. It was God's will that this should happen. Too often we go through this world like dumb animals, not recognizing the events before us. Or even worse, we enter this life like demons, resisting the will of God and the crosses that Christ presents to us at every turn, complaining against God and asking why God doesn't do what we want. And we are just as blind as the children of Abraham in the time of Christ. And that is a terrible shame. We need to wake up. We need to look upon the nativity scene. We just put the three Magi out there near the Christ child. They came to offer him their gifts. We need to think about this epiphany. They saw this star and they knew. And it was life-altering. They said, let us go. Let us see. Let us bring worthy gifts. Let us go and adore him. Their life is transformed. Christ is here in our tabernacle. Not symbolically, but really and truly physically present. We know this is a matter of faith. This is the doctrine. There's no discussing it. There's no debating it. Christ is really and truly present here. Has it altered our life? Has it been an epiphany to us? Has it changed the way that we think, what we do, how we do what we do? Have we been truly transformed as the Magi were transformed? As those disciples who witnessed the water changing into wine were transformed and became the disciples of Christ? Of all those who stood by the River Jordan and saw and heard, has our life been transformed? Why not? I often, as I mentioned, as a young man, you might say, envied the people in the time of Christ. But we have those same gifts. We have those same things. Only we must see with the eyes of faith rather than with the eyes of our head. And though we may not go to the level of doubting Thomas and say, unless I put my hand in the side and stick my finger in the wounds of his hand, I will not believe. We may not go to that extreme, maybe internally, but we dare not say those words. But our Lord answers, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. It is for us to believe because Thomas doubted. It is for us to believe because all these things have been recorded. They have been relayed to us. It is for us to believe because we have received Christ in Holy Communion. We have received grace in the sacraments. We are to be transformed and not be like the scribes and Pharisees. Oh, yes, I know that. I read about that. My parents told me about that. Oh, yes, I know my catechism. And I say, that's not enough. Knowing something is not enough. We must do these things. We must live this life. It must be an epiphany to us that is transformative. And I'm not surprised that little children find catechism boring because we teach it the same way we teach mathematics or English, geography. Here is a list of facts. These are doctrines. These are important. Memorize these. There's going to be a test. I memorized it, I've learned all my catechism, see, and now I'm a good little boy. That's not the end. I can remember someone suggesting, you know, well, what is your goal or your program for the catechism classes? It's not to get to the end of the book. It's not to finish so many lessons. That's not my goal in setting up catechism classes for little children. or adult religion classes. That's not my goal, to get to the end of the book. I believe the goal is to have everyone experience a little epiphany. Oh, wow. How profound, how true. I want this little light bulb to go off. I want the goal of our catechism to have the children fall in love with the faith, to fall in love with Christ, with the sacraments, to fall in love with the church. This little epiphany, I want to transform their lives. Our ultimate goal, as we learn in the catechism, is to become saints. God made us to know, love, and serve Him in this world so that we can be happy with Him in the next. I believe we have to be receptive and go through each our own epiphany. And I think this is what we should be helping one another to reach. We should be fanning those flames of enthusiasm, those flames of love that are perhaps just a smoldering ember. We need to fan it just a little bit and puff it up back to life and spread this fire, this love, this enthusiasm, this desire to know God, to love Him, and to serve Him in the world around us. Christ sent His apostles out to teach all nations. And it seems in our day, very few nations, very few people truly believe, are truly alive. What can we do? Well, each of us in our own little realm, in our own little circle of family, friends, neighbors, whoever it may be, we can begin showing them what a true Catholic is, what a true Christian is, what someone who is truly in love with God does, what he says, how he acts, how he thinks. This must become our epiphany. This should be our goal for this new year. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.